Hello and welcome to the Motivated Mindset. I am your host, Coach Jeff Demers. Today on the Motivated Mindset, we have the pleasure of speaking with the Chief Excitement Officer of Sparks of Fire International. She is the host of the Shay Spock Show, full-time entrepreneur, creator, and instructor for the Ignite Your Year workshop. Please help me welcome Ms. Shay Spock. Shay, how are you today?
Well, I'm great, Jeff, now that I'm here with you. Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So, Shay, you're helping us out with our month of business coaches for interviews, and you are number one.
Yeah.
I actually said I want Shay to be the number one, the very first guest that we have on the Motivated Mindset for the new year, and you said yes. And thank you so much. I absolutely love it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I love the concept. So I wish you much success with it.
Thank you. So this episode is part of a series, as I've already mentioned, interviewing successful coaches in a variety of fields, finding out what makes them tick, who they listen to, what tools they use, and any great advice that they can give. But first, let's go ahead and take a moment to learn a little bit about you, Shay, if we can. You've been a full-time entrepreneur now for how long? You said about 7 years, I think.
Wow. So 7 years and started when I started this particular business while I had another business. I had a salon, and that was 14 years ago.
Wow.
Altogether, yeah.
So you've had the entrepreneur itch for a while.
Yeah. In fact, I really believe it started at, you know, childhood. My dad was an entrepreneur and in sales and had a job and multiple businesses as well. So I think it was just part of my DNA.
What type of work did you do before you started running your own business?
So I had a salon. I was a hairstylist for, decades, over many years. And it was, I worked in a corporate salon and then I went on my own. And then during that, I had a season of healing. I was in an abusive relationship and got out and really started to peel away the layers of the onion that I am, that we all are, and heal. And during that time, I would be sharing with my hair clients what I would learn about myself. And they would go home and, you know, talk with their spouse, their kids, their parents, maybe it was their team at work or their boss. And they would come back in the 4 to 6 weeks for their next appointment. And they're like, oh my gosh, because of what you said to me, my relationship changed. Have you ever considered of being a coach, writing a book, starting a podcast, you know, being a motivational speaker? And in the back of my mind, I was like, I mean, yeah, I kind of want to do that. But I, at the time, really didn't have the confidence to do that. And so I borrowed their confidence in me. And I thought, well, what's the worst thing that could happen is I learn new skills. I can always do what I do now. And, but yet there was this feeling that there's so much more than what I was doing. You know, being in a salon, you're on a one-on-one conversation. And I just felt like it was a more of a one-to-many, more of structure that I needed to be in. And so that's really kind of what propelled me into doing all the other things that I do, because there is that one to many option out there.
So you were getting all of this great advice and everything about starting from your clients. Yeah. What type of support did you receive from your personal, I guess we can call it like your inner circle, like your friends and your family? Were they all gung-ho about it, or were they saying, you know what, wait a minute, you got a good thing going with the salon, maybe you should pull back a little bit? What was that like?
Well, I love that question because most people don't ask that. Honestly, it was the first time when my hair clients were saying this to me, the first time I ever had anyone speak life into me. My family did not do that. And so when I went to them and I was like, yeah, I'm really thinking about, you know, learning something new, you know, it's a year-long program, or maybe I'll write a book, or, you know, these different things. It was, you know, I got a lot of pushback, more of a like, why would you want to do that? Or, you know, don't be so stupid. Like, why would you, like you said, why would you leave what you already built and do something else? my dad, I was like, yeah, dad, I want to start a podcast. And he's like, I don't even understand what that is. So, you know, I'm like, well, back then I was like, well, it's an internet radio show. And right. he was like, I just don't get it. And I was like, it's okay. You're not supposed to.
Oh, and, I love that.
And it, and unfortunately he's not on earth with us to see it. And I know that he's with me to see it. That makes sense.
That's nice. So what advice would you bring? Because when you go against the masses, like we're raised to go a certain way, right? We got to get up, we got to go to school, and then we got to go to school for so many years, and then we got to graduate, and then we got to go to school again for another 4 to 6 years, then we got to graduate, and then we got to go to the office or whatever it is that, that you went to school for and work there for so many years, and then you're supposed to retire.
Right.
Right? So when people think, well, wait a minute, this isn't for me, like a lot of fear starts coming into mind because they're getting the feedback from their family, from their inner circle saying you're crazy to do this. So let me ask you, if you could give, I'm asking for one piece of advice, but there's so much that I know that you can say to help them. And we'll discuss that in a little bit, but how do you prepare yourself for the proper mindset to take that leap? What advice would you give to people for that?
I love this question. So a couple of things. You really have to know yourself. So I did, my first book is actually kind of doing this, but I did this journaling exercises, which was really capturing your thoughts. And you don't know what you don't know. You only know what you know, right? So one of the things that I, the question I asked myself is, what is it that I don't know that I need to know in order to move forward? And I knew there was a lot of online entrepreneurs. There was a lot of podcasters and lots of people out there like that, that was, you know, making money from their laptop, being able to travel, live nomadically. And I thought, okay, so I don't know anything about that world. So how do I go about that? And I just started to Google it and research and, and read and learn and, you know, sign up for workshops and sign up for, you know, their books and their classes and all of the things that I could possibly do. But it really started with the question of what is it that I don't know? Because like you said, we have this mindset. So that's where it started. And then the next portion was, and the capturing my thoughts even in further of that imposter syndrome that a lot of times we go through, especially as entrepreneurs, right? And especially in a mindset type of thing is, well, what is it that I'm even telling myself? You know, we run on autopilot a lot of times where it's like, it's this negative inner loop that we don't even realize this voice is going. So it's taking us, you know, taking us down instead of helping us, propelling us up. And so, you know, I say, write down all your thoughts, all the things that you tell yourself, and then go through it and read it, because I guarantee you wouldn't even say that to your worst enemy.
Do you still have those from time to time? Do you still have those negative kind of inner dialogues going on in your mind, even with all the success that you've done and everything you've created? Do you still face that?
I do. I don't think it goes away completely. I think it's there more as a different temperature. Like the temperature read is like, you know, maybe it's really like room temperature, where before it was like so overwhelmingly hot that it would shut me down. Now it's like it comes in and it's like, oh, thanks for dear friend anxiety. Thanks, imposter syndrome. Oh, who do you think you are? You're not good enough, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for showing up. You can go now. It's kind of more like that for me now, which is really funny because, you know, 15 years ago when I started on this journey, I would never have been able to like move. Sometimes that voice, you know, actually had me freezing. And not
absolutely.
It, right. Yeah. And that's what fear does. Fear is fight, flight, or freeze, or a P is, or we people please. So it was really just focusing in on what it is that how my brain was reacting.
Yeah. There's so many fears that it's not just the fear of failure. It can be the fear of success, the fear of embarrassment, the fear of ridicule, the fear of judgment. right? Especially from our peers, because even though we tell ourselves, you know what, I'm all about me and I'm going to do this, we still think about what are the people around me thinking about me, right? What if I do this? What are they going to say? What if I go this way? Are they going to go the other way and just run away from me? You know, because our idea of being an entrepreneur is not to just completely get away from our friends and family and those that we love, right? It's to get rid of the toxicity, right?
Yes.
Maybe sometimes they just don't know. So just let them know, you know, this is not the way you're coming to me. It's not the path that I'm choosing to walk at this point. Right. So I'm just giving you a heads up. I'm going to kind of distance myself from you. I still love you, but I'm not trying to be around that right now. How hard is it to be able to do that? Right. Take the people that you love and say, you know what? I'm not going to be around that right now. I need to go and do my own thing.
Well, I really had to learn to be a fearless communicator in doing all of this work. And not just with myself and my family, but, you know, everyone around me. You know, I got that's really stupid. Like, that's such a stupid idea. And I'm like, okay, thanks. You know, it's more like a thanks for your feedback. I'm not going to do anything with it, but thanks for your feedback kind of a thing. Okay. And I love that you mentioned toxicity. My corporate salon was toxic, right? So that's the whole reason I left and wanted to leave in the first place. So it kind of comes back to your why, right? So if you're able to explain, hey, this is why I want to do this. And for me, my why of leaving the salon was, you know, I did it for 28 years and my shoulder started to hurt in year 10. And then as time went on, you know, I got out of this relationship and I'm like, okay, now I get to focus on me. So if my shoulder is hurting, and I need to focus on me. And at some point I have to have surgery. They're most of people who have surgery in my industry is after at least 6 months to a year. So it's like, okay, what do I do for myself? How do I take care of myself in that? I'm a single woman. But at the same time, there was this other factor of what is it that is really calling towards me, right? What else is there out there? And I just really had this wild and crazy idea of I had been almost chained, like chained to the chair, right? And in a salon, that's how I kind of, my mindset was like, I can't go anywhere. All I can do is go to work day in and day out all the time and serve my clients, which I loved, but I wanted to explore. So how could I create a life for me that allowed me to explore while I was living and not waiting till I retired? My parents, unfortunately, didn't get the opportunity to retire. They were both in their well into their 70s when they got diagnosed with cancer. Both of them had cancers from chemicals, and they were still employees. They still had a job.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't want, when they passed away, and I was like, I don't want that. I want something better. I want something different. Mm-hmm. And so I really started to look at, you know, what is possible in creating something new and different, and nobody's going to understand and get it because most people, like you said before, most people go with the flow of the status quo of, well, you buy the house, you have the picket fence, you have the dog, you know, all of that. Like, isn't that what you say? And I was like, actually, no. I want to travel the world and live in different Airbnbs all over the world and experience culture and food and you know, have my partner come along and we experience life rather than just being kind of enclosed inside a box.
Yeah, you mentioned one of the things that helped you is you went out and you started looking for like different workshops to go to and different books to read and different people to listen to. Who were some of the biggest influencers to help you along your path?
Simon Sinek, Start With Why. That book is huge.
Love that book.
Right. Yep. But I took several like assessments, like Strength Finders.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the other one. I hired a coach actually that had like, I don't know, I think there was five or six of them that really went in deep on kind of how I was designed, which again, I hadn't really paid attention to because of the background that I was in and the relationship that I was in. I was focused solely on everyone else. So now in this journey, I was able to really focus on me and what I wanted and how I was designed. And just recently I did something called human design and they did human design for your business or professionally. And that's a whole nother layer of, you know, what it is that you're literally born to do. So it's just fascinating to learn all these different modalities. I'm trying to think, one of the workshops that I did, I actually went through Donald Miller as well. It was create your story for your website, story brand, which was huge. And that is where I met Rhonda Britton through that actual workshop. It was in Nashville. I met her and she has Fearless Living Institute. And I'm talking with her and I said, hey, I'm a coach. I'm kind of stuck in this. I don't know about you. Can you help me? I know that you're a coach as well. And she's like, yeah, I would love to help you. So may I ask, where did you get your coaching certification through? And I'm like, oh, I don't have a coaching certification. I had hired a coach to help me create a coaching business. And she just says, oh. And I said, oh, do you think I should have a certification? And she's like, well, actually, yes, because I have a certification program. And she said, how long is it? And she said, a year. Now, my thought was, well, I'm going to be a year older regardless if I do this training or not. Mm-hmm. So what do I got to lose if I do it? Again, it goes back to that. I might learn a new skill.
Right.
And we really, in that training, we break down how your fear shows up. So the things that you mentioned earlier, the rejection and the success and all the different things, there's so many layers to how our fear shows up that if you don't recognize it, you there's no way of understanding it.
Or so, overcoming it.
Right. Overcoming it, understanding it and being able to move through it. Because it's not about avoiding it, because you can never avoid fear. Fear is always going to show up. It's a part of our brain. It's part of our DNA.
Right.
It's also part of, you know, sometimes if we've had traumas in our life, right? It's part of, it's there to protect us as well as love us. So at the same time, if you don't understand how to move through it, then you're doing yourself a disservice. So that was completely beneficial for me to take that as well.
You mentioned a key term just a second ago, and it brought up a conversation that we had about a week ago. Explain to me transforming trauma into treasure. What's that about?
So yeah, I went through this program and what I had gotten feedback before I even did any coaching from my clients was all of this, like, you really have a gift here. And again, I just borrowed their confidence in me. And in this healing journey about, I don't know, a couple months in, 4 to 6 months in, I had about 6 women come to me out of the blue. I either knew them as clients or they were friends or they were a friend of a friend that was referred to me to meet. And they had been in abusive relationships too. Okay. It wasn't to the degree that I was in, but it was abusive. And I just started to speak to them in the way that I wish someone had spoke to me. And during that process, I learned that what I went through, I not even knew. It's like a quiet whisper from God, I'll say, that God kind of said to me, even though I took you through this, even though you went, not I took you through this, even though you went through this traumatic years of stuff, there is good on this side of it, because now you're helping others overcome their trauma and use it to help them turn it into a treasure. My dad and I had, you know, basically a tumultuous relationship for most of my life. You know, teenagers, of course, were bad. And he just wasn't the loving, caring, nurturing father that I wanted him to be. Mm-hmm. And so I started to change the way I spoke to him during this time of my life. And I would ask him things like, are you asking me to do something for you? Or are you trying to manipulate me? And I would use just that kind of tone. It wasn't like accusatory or blaming or shaming. And what was so amazing is that he was open to having that conversation. First of all, he was like, minute. Like, I don't even know what that word means. What does manipulation mean? And then being able to like break it down and go, well, Dad, it sounds like you want me to do something, but then you're going to be really disappointed if I say no. And I don't want to disappoint you. So, and when I've disappointed you in the past, you go away. You don't act like you love me anymore. So how can we come to a conversation, a communication way that you're actually asking me what it is that you want me to do? And I would just have to ask him those questions a lot. Like, are you asking me to do something or are you telling me to do something?
It's a great question though.
Right. And just by using those kind of questions, it shifted our friendship, our relationship, because, you know, I'm in my late 30s at this point. And it's like, yeah, we became best friends in the last 5 years of his life. And it was such an amazing transformation in our relationship, but it also opened the door. He had been drafted to Korea during the Vietnam War, never shared that with any of us. And it wasn't until 6 months before he passed away. Unfortunately, I wish I knew that so I could like had recorded him and started my podcast, like all the things, right? All the things I wish I had done. But he had shared that, you know, he had a job over there and he was kind of in shock when his number came up, so to speak. And as he's telling this story, he said, you know, I had to do this job. And I said, well, why didn't you do, he had been an air traffic controller at one point in his life. I said, why didn't you do that? And he said, well, I didn't have a choice. And when he said that phrase, it like permeated my soul. And I was like, man, how many times have I said that to myself? Right. Like, I don't have a choice. I made my bed. I have to lie in it, which is what, you know, unfortunately, those limiting beliefs, phrases that my parents projected onto us as children. And it was like, wow, I just thought that was true. So when he said that to me, it was really just looking back over the years that we had now created this one beautiful friendship. It was like, that was the treasure from the crappy trauma that I had went through. And I know if I can create that, anyone else can create that as well.
That is amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. Let's dive into this book project that you have, the Firestarters book project. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah. So in the shutdown of 2020 of the pandemic, it was, if you can't tell already, a social butterfly and extrovert person. And so, you know, there's no networking events. And I was a part of Bunker Labs, which, you know, helps veterans start their business. And I was, you know, kind of the event coordinator type of thing with the local chapter there in Kansas City, really, you know, helping people connect and network with other people. And those were all taken away. And I thought, okay, how can I recreate that kind of connection, that kind of networking, but in something different? And so an opportunity kind of presented itself to me to do this co-author book type book. And I was like, there it is, boom, put it inside a book. So we're all on the same page of what the book is about, but we're bringing all different walks of life, all different creative thought leaders, and really talking about this one thing. So the first book that we did was how to be a spark of hope in the midst of change, because as we know, 2020 was definitely change, right? Yeah. And now the theme for the book is how to rekindle your kindness, what the world needs now.
Wow. That's amazing. Where can, so when this book's finished, is it, when it gets finished, how do we get our hands on it?
Yeah. So right now we're still in the process of writing it. So we're actually looking for co-authors, if you don't mind me sharing that.
No,
we're looking
absolutely.
For other creative thought leaders who have like, you know what, I know I have a book in me, but the thought of creating the whole book is so overwhelming and daunting. Like, let's break it down and just, you know, you write a 3,000 word chapter. And then the cool thing is that you really get to connect with the other co-authors. And because we have so many perks along with it, that you get to, you know, build a community, not just with the other people inside the book, but with their community, because we do an online summit with it as well. So yeah, the book is firestartersbookproject.com. And you can find out more information on there about it, but you can also buy the book on Amazon as well.
Excellent. Definitely picking that one up. Now okay. So I'm a little upset because I missed out on this because sounds like it's a great opportunity to get my year, off, hitting the ground running. You are the creator and the instructor for the Ignite Your Year workshop. When's the next workshop?
Yeah. So it went so well. And how you like all the good intentions of doing things go so well. And then afterwards, you're like, oh my God, that was awful. Well, I didn't hit record. And so I decided, I can redo this and just have it me on the camera instead of, taking anyone who didn't want to share in front of public. So I redid the workshop so they can definitely contact me. You can email me or send me a message on Facebook or any social media platform, and I can send it to you. There is a link for it as well. I have it up there. But also, I will be doing this ongoing the first of every month. Awesome. It was so well received, and I know there's so much healing and transformation that goes into this because I touch on everything from NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, to energy work with Reiki, but also a little bit of hypnosis slash more energy work, manifesting your affirmations.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Now, let me ask you this, because usually I try to come up with like a different tool or a special tip for young entrepreneurs and people starting out. Is there a tool that you use as an entrepreneur that you actually absolutely cannot live without right now? Putting you on the spot.
I know. I'm like a tool. Zoom is one huge. StreamYard that you're using right now is huge.
I love StreamYard.
I use both of those all the time. Any Google product, email, Google Docs, I share with my team, Dropbox, gosh, there's so many, my notes in my phone, WhatsApp, Telegram, all the things.
I just started using WhatsApp. My coach is in Japan right now skiing.
Yeah.
All right. He's like, hit me up on WhatsApp. And I'm like, what's a WhatsApp?
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's basically just like texting. It's just like between you guys and you can see. And so, I'm on WhatsApp now. So hit me up on WhatsApp.
All right.
So let's do some getting to know Shay a little bit more in detail. Rapid fire, but I'm not timing it because I used to time it, but then that locked me out from doing follow-up questions to some of these answers.
Okay.
So just random questions. Let's see how you do. Okay. All right. First question. Did you make a New Year's resolution?
I do not. I make intentions.
Nice. I love that. Who was your first celebrity crush?
John Schneider from the Dukes of Hazzard comes up.
What's wrong with that? That was one of my favorite shows.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, being that it's Man Crush Monday, I'm just going to throw Ryan Reynolds out there. But growing up, yeah. I mean, in the 90s, it was all about, for me, Janet Jackson.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's when she really like peaked.
Well, I loved Michael Jackson, so I get it. Yes, I love Michael Jackson too.
Yeah. All right. Favorite day of the week?
Thursday.
Why Thursday? What is it about Thursdays?
So in my youth, we had PE on Thursdays and I hated it. I hated Thursdays. And in my adult life, I started a blog way back when, gosh, probably, I don't know, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I used to call it 365 days of thankfulness. And I wrote it every day. And I realized it really boils down to if we just do it one day a week, Thankful Thursday. So that's
Thankful Thursday. Yeah. I love it. I'm a Monday guy. Okay. I love Mondays. I got that from Eric Thomas. I don't know if you follow Eric Thomas.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He's a thank God it's Monday guy. I started doing that like 8 years ago, and it's helped me start my week up awesome, which is why I chose Mondays for the Motivated Mindset.
Perfect.
So, absolutely. Favorite place to travel to? In the States or out of the States?
I'm just going to say on a plane. It doesn't really matter to me. I've had the so I do a road trip, a podcast and book tour every year.
Really?
It's about a month long. And so I have flown out to California and rented a car and drove all the way down to Las Vegas and back up to Utah. Mm-hmm. But then I've also driven to Kansas City and stopped in, you know, Atlanta and Nashville and all of those places along the way. So, you know, it doesn't matter. Travel is travel. I love it. I don't necessarily have a favorite place to go because for me, I love it all.
The most beautiful place I've ever been was Murkaska, Croatia.
Mm.
The only reason I was there is because it was close enough to the center of hell when I was serving in Bosnia in the late 90s. That's where we went to TDY, and it was gorgeous. I loved it. All right. Favorite type of music?
I don't really have a favorite type. My playlist has everything from contemporary Christian to gangster rap. So, and
wow.
80s, to 80s metal band and in hair bands.
Love it. Hey, I'm glad to know somebody's still keeping the hair bands alive. I'm a big hair band guy. All right. Favorite type of junk food?
Junk food.
What is pizza. It? What's your go-to?
I would say pizza. Yeah.
Pizza?
Yeah. Or chips and salsa. Chips and salsa. Chips and dip. Yeah.
Are you more pizza or more wings?
No, I'm not really a wings I don't know why. I don't like the bone. So if I do wings, it would be boneless. Uh-huh. Apparently
that's a sin. You can't do that.
I know. But believe it or not, frozen pizza, a cauliflower crust from Aldi is the best.
Really? From where? Yeah.
From Aldi. It's a discount grocery store.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Cats or dogs? Careful, this could decide our friendship.
So up until 2 years ago, before I moved to Florida, I would have said definitely dogs. But when I moved here, my roommate, who is my brother, he had cats too. He has two chihuahuas and two cats. Mm-hmm. And they love me, and I'm not a big fan, but they've grown on me. We were missing a dog and a cat on January 1st, and it was devastating. Mm. So, yeah, I'm a both person.
To be fair, I would choose any cat over a chihuahua, but I'm a dog person. Favorite car or truck?
Ooh. My dream car is a Porsche Macan.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. Fancy.
Yeah.
See, I go back. I'm a 67 Pontiac GTO guy. Mm. Like, that's my ultimate car. I don't care if I finally get one and it just sits in my garage. I want one.
My brother growing up had a 74 Supernova.
Oh, so, wow.
No, so we drove that to school every day. So, yeah, we had muscle cars. Yeah.
One of my favorite movies is Dazed and Confused. You ever watch it?
Yeah.
Seeing the cars that they drove to school, these are $100,000 cars, $200,000 cars. Right. And they're just driving them around doing donuts in the school parking lot. And I'm like, oh, my God, save the car. Have you ever done skydiving or bungee jumping?
Not yet. Yeah. So like within, I don't know, two or three blocks, there's a skydiving airport. So, and I can watch them from my kitchen window when they're flying down or when they're parachuting down. So it looks fun. So maybe at some point I will.
I'm going to say no, but there is an inside place here in Scottsdale that I might try. It's like this big wind tunnel where they basically just float you over it and let you go up. And I think that's about as high as I want to go right now. I am not a heights person at all.
I love heights.
Oh, God, no. Like, I don't even like getting on a two-step ladder. It's just, I would rather run into a combat zone than be up on a ladder. It's crazy. All right, final question. Yeah. Disneyland or Disney World?
Gosh, I've been to both. You know, I went to Epcot, believe it or not, on a date last year. And I was really surprised at how outdated it was.
Really?
Yeah. I figured with all the technology and all the things, there would be so much more up to date and tech, you know, like virtual reality and things like that. It was not. However, Universal blew me away on their rides and stuff. So I'm going to say neither and go with Universal. Sorry, Disney.
Wow. Okay. Well, we got to put that on a list. We were in Orlando for an event in September and we went to Disney World, but we went to Animal Kingdom and we went to SeaWorld.
Oh yeah.
And at first I was like, oh, you know, this is good. But then we stood in line for an hour and a half to go into the Avatar, the water ride. You want to see technology? Because as a matter of fact, I have a video on my phone. I'm going to post on my personal page.
Okay.
You to see. Just the animatronics and everything that they have in there just blew me away.
Nice.
Like, it was insane. It was totally worth the hour and a half. It was only like a 10-minute ride for an hour and a half wait. Worth it. Totally worth it. So next time you're in Orlando, go to that. You might have to wait in line for a little while, but totally worth it. Shay Sparks.
Thank you.
Chief Excitement Officer of Sparks of Fire International. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the Motivated Mindset. Again, I will publish all the links that you send me so they know where to catch up with you. If you want to give them a shout out again, I know there's firestarterbookproject.com/Shay, S-H-A. Yep. Where can they catch you on social media?
Yeah, so you can find me at the Shay Sparks on Instagram or Shay Sparks on LinkedIn, Facebook. They can catch me on there. My website is shaysparks.com. And then the podcast is theshaysparksshow.com.
All right. Well, Shay Sparks, again, thank you so much for being on the Motivated Mindset. I'm Coach Jeff Demers. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned next week. I got another awesome guest lined up. I know it's one of three of them, but they're all awesome. So they're going to be on the show. And thank you again so much for spending your time with us, Shay. Let's have a great day.